Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour, everyone. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again here in the midst of summer. And we are enjoying spreading our wings, are we not? And relaxing a bit. But you know what? Summer is oftentimes a time to get stuff done as well. I've certainly learned that since my wife and I made the move over to central Wisconsin. And living in the rural areas, we certainly know that when the weather gets warm and the sun is up for a good number of hours each and every day, then it is time for us to spend some good time outside working on getting those outdoor projects done. But that is true regardless of whether you live in the urban setting, the suburbs, the rural areas, whatever it might be. It is time to get stuff done. So are you getting stuff done? I hope so. I hope you're getting some things accomplished this summer. But it also has given me pause to reflect a bit on how efficiency and productivity can become an idol in our lives. You know, we are to eschew all idols out of our lives. And how about the idols, the gods, the small g gods of efficiency and productivity? Sometimes these things can get a little too, get their hooks ingrained a little too much in us, right? And we can be a little bit of a slave to each of those things. So Sunday's Gospel, of course, is going to be talking specifically about that as we are coming up on Luke chapter 10, and we have Jesus' interlude with Martha and Mary. Now, a lot of times people look at this reading and they think, okay, well, obviously Martha's running around, scurrying around, and she's doing the bad stuff, and Mary is doing all the good stuff because she's sitting at the feet of Jesus. And people who tend to be a little bit more reflective, which is a good thing, or lazy, which is a bad thing, can kind of sometimes point the finger at Martha and say, look, Jesus is admonishing her because of all of the work that she's doing. But is he really? Let's take a closer look at that. And if we find out that, St. Luke tells us that Martha was burdened with much serving. It was a burden to her. It wasn't that the service itself was bad. In fact, Holy Mother Church, in her wisdom, has paired with this reading Genesis, reading from Genesis that actually shows when the three visitors meet Abraham, right? And Abraham scurries off to tell Sarah to serve these three guests, right? And so there's almost a way that Holy Mother Church is saying, no, service itself is not bad. Getting stuff done is not bad. When it becomes evil is when it moves from that time of service out of a generous heart, out of a grateful heart, out of, again, love, which is, again, willing the good of the other as other. When it moves from that into creating within us worry and anxiety and this attitude of, I cannot take joy from this activity, rather, I just got to plow my way through it in order to get it done. So where's the focus? Maybe that's one of the questions. Where's the focus of getting stuff done? Is it always on getting stuff done so that when it's done, then I can relax, then I can do what I really enjoy? Or is it in the midst of the service itself? And I am saying that this as much for me as for any of you, because I need to learn how to take joy. My wife and I were just having this conversation. I need to learn how to take joy in the everyday labors of life and in those projects that we do during the summertime. In fact, St. Luke goes on to have Jesus tell Martha, Martha, Martha. He says, you are anxious and worried about many things. There again, that's where efficiency and productivity and service, that's where they become the idol, you know, because it's stealing away from finding the Lord in the moment. I don't think, I think the scriptures are pretty plain that our Lord himself, our Lady, and all of the laudable biblical characters were workers. You know, St. Paul was a tent maker, correct? And he worked with his hands. He labored with his hands so that he could go on and he could spread the gospel. So again, work, getting stuff done, not the problem. Problem comes in our attitude toward it, right? Are we rushing through it to get it done because what the real riches of life lie elsewhere? Or are we taking the time to find the joy in it? That's my challenge to you this summer, July weekend, that we find joy in the projects that we do this summer. And maybe a way of reminding ourselves how to find that joy, how to choose the better part, as Jesus says, to remember the Lord's presence in all things. Maybe one of those ways is to go on pilgrimage. And that's what we're going to be talking about for the first two-thirds of the show anyway. We're going to be talking with Father Rocky himself from here at Relevant Radio. He's going to talk to us about the Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help over in Champion, Wisconsin. A little bit later, Father Don Brick is going to join us to talk about Holy Hill, which is down in the greater Milwaukee area in Wisconsin. So he's going to be telling us about that. And maybe if it's not pilgrimage, maybe it's a retreat. And Nell O'Leary is going to join us to talk more about the Archdiocese's Women's Retreat coming up in September. That's what we've got in store for us today on the Rediscover Hour. Let's, as always, pause here at the top of the show, commit the show to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. As together we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to go into our first break. When we come back, Father Rocky of Relevant Radio fame is with us to talk about the Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Everyone has a special place for their safe money, like the local bank, or maybe even the proverbial cookie jar, a place that's secure from losing value. At Catholic United Financial, we know a thing or two about keeping your savings safe and secure. We also know as you get closer to retirement, the last thing you want to do is lose money. If that's you and you're worried about falling markets, then consider protecting your hard-earned money with a guaranteed return no matter what the markets do. Our Bonus Plus annuity has a 3% return the first year and a guaranteed minimum return in the future with no annual sales or maintenance fees. Your money grows free of market risk and fee-free. So place your safe money with a company that honors your faith. Start an account or roll over an IRA. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. That's CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
Welcome back to the Rediscoverer here on Relevant Radio. Father Francis J. Hoffman, or Father Rocky, was ordained as a priest for Opus Dei in 1992. He's a noted author and speaker and has appeared on the major radio and television networks. He's also the executive director and CEO of Relevant Radio Nation and indeed worldwide since 2010. Relevant Radio broadcasts on over 130 AM and FM stations in reaching 39 states and 146 million persons. And he has taken the time to join us today on the Rediscover Hour. Father Rocky, welcome back to the program.
Patrick, it's great to be with you. You do such a great job hosting the show. I'm really happy to be with you.
Well, thanks for the opportunity. I really enjoy doing it. We were just talking at the top of the show. I was talking a little bit about reminding ourselves of the Lord's presence in all things and how pilgrimage can do that. And you're with us today to talk a little bit about the Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help over there in Champion, Wisconsin. Tell us a little bit about, introduce us to the shrine, Father Rocky.
Sure. Well, I'd never heard anything about it until 2009 when I started working full-time for Relevant Radio. And early on, someone said, did you hear that the Blessed Mother appeared in the woods outside of Green Bay? And I thought they're saying, like, that happened last week. I said, when did it happen? I said, oh, a long time ago, about 150 years ago. I said, no, I hadn't. And I tend to, you know, I believe in the Blessed Mother and our Lord Jesus Christ, and I do believe in miracles and all that, but I tend to be skeptical when I first hear about a reported apparitions because very few ever actually get approved. So I was a little guarded on my reaction at first, but after 9 months, having kind of gotten a sense of what was going on out there and who was out there, I decided to drive out there to pray the rosary in May. And it's a little shrine on 6 acres with an old chapel, old brick schoolhouse, tucked in between two active dairy farms. And as soon as we walked into the chapel, I had this immediate sense, oh, this is real. Mm-hmm. The floor was sparkling clean, and it was a very reverent atmosphere. And the tabernacle's right in the center of the sanctuary and had a little veil over it and a light on it and angels on either side. And there's nothing kooky going on, and just a few people praying. I just had a sense, wow, this is real, and it's very peaceful. And then downstairs, underneath the altar, which was the original level of the land, is the place where the apparitions took place, from Our Lady to a woman named Adele Bryce from Belgium, who was an immigrant back in 1859. And I've been back many, many times. And just a couple months after I had visited, 8-9 months, the Bishop of Green Bay formally approved it. Now, this is what I thought was remarkable. When Bishop Ricken came into Green Bay in 2008, he appointed a theological commission to study this phenomenon. And after 2 years of extensive study, their conclusion was, there's no way to explain what's been going on here for the last 150 years except something supernatural occurred. And the story is that on October 8th, 1859, the Blessed Mother appeared to a young immigrant woman named Adele Bryce. And she said, I am the Queen of Heaven who prays for the conversion of sinners, and I want you to do the same. Gather the children in this wild frontier area, gather the pioneers, and teach the children what they need to know for their salvation. Teach them to make the sign of the cross, teach them how to receive the sacraments fruitfully, teach them their catechism. And that was it. 12 years later to the day, when the city of Chicago burned down, October 8th, 1871, northern Wisconsin burned down. The largest forest fire in the history of America to this day was called the Great Peshtigo Forest Fire, P-E-S-H-I-T-I-G-O, a little town near Green Bay. And it was a huge conflagration. 1 million acres were incinerated, 1,000 square miles, 3,000 people lost their lives.
Wow.
But any of the local people who ran to the shrine, which had been built, the little chapel, they were saved, even though everything around it was incinerated to the north, south, east, west, except the 6 acres of the shrine itself. So everybody knew this is a hallowed ground. It's a miraculous place. So when the bishop formally approved it on December 8th, 2010, the Feast of Immaculate Conception, I made sure that Relevant Radio would be there live for the event, even though many news services, including well-known Catholic news services, weren't paying attention to it, because I said, this is truly historical. In the history of the modern church, there have been only 16 reported apparitions of the Blessed Mother that received formal approval by the local bishop. The big three are Lourdes in France, Fatima in Portugal, and Guadalupe in Mexico. But there's only one in all the United States of America that's been formally approved, and for that matter, Canada, too, and that's Our Lady of Good Help. And I just thought this was magnificent. And I said, what will happen with this? And over time, the word is getting out, more and more pilgrims come. And now for the past 7 years, Relevant Radio has promoted the Walk to Mary,
right,
the first Saturday of May. And every year we get about 2,000 pilgrims, and they walk for the whole day from the National Shrine of St. Joseph over to Pier, Wisconsin, at St. Norbert's College, out to the Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help, and then the local bishop celebrates a beautiful mass with 1,000 people there, or 2,000 people. So I tell people, look, if you've got a need, you got a special need, health or relationships or finance or whatever it is, go make a pilgrimage to the Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help. Go to Mass there. Go to confession. Pray the rosary. Light a candle. Bring your petitions to the Blessed Mother. And this year, this was great, Patrick. At the Walk to Mary afterwards, I met this young woman who had a little baby in her baby carriage. And I said, who are you? And then I said, oh, I think I heard the story. Aren't you the one who had 5 miscarriages in a row, and then you did this Walk to Mary last year? She said, I am.
Wow.
And I came back to thank the Blessed Mother, because now I have a 3-month-old happy, healthy baby.
Wow.
And she had no doubt Our Lady had worked that miracle for her. Mm. And I've met many other people over the years who have these great claims of the clemency of God and the powerful, merciful intercession of Blessed Mother. And there it is. You know, it's maybe a five-hour drive from the Twin Cities, and it's a beautiful drive across Route 29. And I tell everybody I know all about it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like you say, it's not that far of a drive. You can do it. I think a two-day stint would be enough to take in the shrine, to go to Mass, to go to confession. But if you can spare even more, great thing to do over there in eastern Wisconsin. So, Father, do you... what about pilgrimages in general, in terms of, is the power of the Lord specifically more present, if you will, in these places and the places that you specifically talked about? So like Lourdes and Fatima and Guadalupe and in Champion?
It is, and only God knows to what extent it's His power, and what extent it is the piety and faith and expectations of the people, right?
Sure, so, right.
Places become holy and sacred through our veneration of that and the prayers that we say there. And this is a whole chapter of Catholic theology known as Christian archaeology. Mm. Pilgrimage, it's interesting. It's a beautiful prayer for the walk to Mary, which is a brief synopsis of the history of pilgrimage. So pilgrimage begins with Abraham. Walking from, you know, Ur of the Chaldees to mm-hmm. Mount Moriah.
Yeah.
And he walks a long distance. And then it continues with the people of Israel leaving Egypt and coming to the Promised Land. It continues with Jesus, Mary, and Joseph walking from Galilee in the north for a week down to the Temple of Jerusalem, to this holy spot. It continues throughout the Middle Ages with Christians from all over Europe trekking to the Holy Land, or to Santiago de Compostela in the northwest of Spain, or to Rome, right? And it continued, in a sense, it got re-energized, a big boost with St. John Paul II, who was always on pilgrimage. He was going all over the world to visit these holy sites and to preach the Word of God. It's a newer phenomenon in the United States, but I hope it catches on because it's part of popular piety. It really allows you to pray body and soul, especially if you're walking all day to a holy place. Now, the Polish people do this over in Pennsylvania. It's a three-day walking pilgrimage to the National Shrine of Lady of Czaskohova. Here in Chicago, the Polish and the Mexicans and Filipinos do a two-day walking pilgrimage to the Shrine of Our Lady of Czaskohova in northwest Indiana. Hmm. And now this is catching on over here. So what's powerful about it is you're going to a holy place. Maybe a saint lived there and is buried there, or some miracle took place there, or there was an apparition of the Blessed Mother. And usually at these pilgrimage sites, confession is available every day, and the Holy Eucharist is there, right? So this is the great thing. So it gives a sense to rejuvenate the soul. And especially for modern Americans, where we're just overactive, we get so many things going on, it breaks the cycle of the work week.
Yeah.
Right? And we dedicate a certain amount of time, do something sacred, doing something just for God.
Yeah.
And typically, at these pilgrimage sites, you won't see the attractions you'd see, let's say, at a Disney theme park. Ferris wheels and cotton candy and all the rest. Hopefully, there'll be comfortable and clean accommodations nearby. But I've been to many of these pilgrimage sites in the world, and they're always great for the soul. You know, I was at the shrine of St. Padre Pio in Italy last year, San Giovanni Rotondo. I've been to Holy Hill in the Milwaukee, or I've been to Our Lady of Guadalupe over in La Crosse. And, but I think my favorite right now is Our Lady of Good Help. It's very humble, it's very peaceful, and very powerful.
Wonderful. So let's go back to the shrine there, Father. And I know we've got just a little under a month coming up on August 15th. We've got the great solemnity and holy day of the Assumption, the celebration of the Assumption. And they've got some special things planned for the Assumption there. So can you tell us a little bit about how they are celebrating the Assumption?
Sure. This is interesting. All right. So I think kind of the two or three big days of the year for the Shrine of Lady Good Help are August 15th, where for years, without any break, they've had an outdoor mass and procession on the Feast of the Assumption of Blessed Mother into heaven. And I think this is a great thing because the Assumption is celebrated with great fanfare in the Catholic countries of the world, like Italy and Spain and Mexico and the Philippines. Not as much here, but for most people in the Northern Hemisphere, it's right in the middle of summer vacation. And they'll have festivals around this, you know, bands and concerts and cookouts and barbecues and parades and fireworks and all the rest. And that's a wonderful thing. So they kind of play it up there at the shrine. I think the other big day is October 8th, which is the anniversary of the apparition. And there's outdoor candlelight pilgrimage rosary in the evening. And then the Walk to Mary in early May is big as well. That's the first Saturday of the month. So I know you can go to their website, walktomary.com or walktomary.org, and they've got everything listed out there. And what's great to see is how more and more people are making the effort to stop there. And if you're from the Chicago area, many people go up to Door County in the summer, and this is just 5 miles off the main highway that leads north. And it's pretty convenient to get to. It's right in the heart of dairy country. I mean, you cows to the left, you cows to the right. You know?
Yeah, that's where I'm living now. It's right in the middle of dairy country. Yep, it is out there. All right, so just before we let you go, Father, I wanted to ask one more thing. So if you were to say this alone is the reason to come to Our Lady of Good Help and maybe put it at the top of your pilgrimage list, what would you say? What's something that you really, really appreciate about the shrine?
A sense of peace. Yeah, I mean, everybody comments on that. You know, there's a real sense of peace there. And it's the presence of the Holy Eucharist. It's the raw, unchoreographed devotion of the people. It's the candles. It's the artwork. It's all the rest, right?
Mm-hmm.
I go there whenever I can. The last time was there was June 11th because we had a fundraiser in Los Angeles called the Christ Brings Hope War Dinner. And I told the 400 people, anyone who makes a donation tonight leaves me your prayer request, I will go out there and pray for them individually. Mm. Oh, my goodness.
Mm.
And these people know how to shop in Los Angeles. They didn't get one prayer request. They jammed like 10 in each on each, you know.
You were busy
little,
then.
Oh, they filled it up on both sides and on the corners. I mean, they want it. They want to take advantage of this. Man, he's going to that shrine. I'm going to get my money's worth, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would say that.
Okay.
So if you haven't been there, you know, this is something for the family to do. Great idea.
Excellent. Father, may we have your blessing before we let you go?
Sure. Through the intercession of Lady Guadalupe, St. Jose Maria, St. Michael, the Archangel, St. Joseph, for all those listening today, may God fill your heart with peace and joy. May you be healthy, happy, and holy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father Rocky, thank you so much for joining us once again on the Rediscover Hour.
Thanks, Patrick. God bless you.
Thank you, and God bless you. Yep. Walktomary.org, or you can go to ShrineOfOurLadyOfGoodHelp.com. You can find out everything you need to know about that as a pilgrimage destination. I did check that out a little bit earlier today. They are planning on having both Bishop Ricken, the Bishop of Green Bay, and a special guest speaker, Dr. Scott Hahn, perhaps you've heard of him, for their celebration of the Assumption. So maybe August 15th would be a good time for us to head east and check out the shrine at Champion. Or you could head southeast and go down to Holy Hill. Have you heard of Holy Hill? Well, the technical name is the Basilica and National Shrine of Mary, Help of Christians. There's a help theme going on here today. And Father Don Brick, who is the Superior and Rector of the Basilica and National Shrine of Mary, Help of Christians, joins us now to tell us about Holy Hill. Father, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Patrick. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
Doing fabulous. Thanks.
Excellent. Exactly what I wanted to hear. And introduce us to Holy Hill. Now, I'll tell you right from the start, Father, it has been a longtime ambition of mine to get there. I have not done so yet. We were just talking with Father Rocky about Our Lady of Good Help in Champion, and I have not yet made it to Holy Hill, but it's on the calendar for this October for me. So what can I anticipate?
Well, you can anticipate beauty and peace and just an encounter with God. So it's a magnificent gift from heaven for all of us. It's a beautiful place.
Wonderful. Okay. Give us some of the history of Holy Hill.
Well, actually, Patrick, this property was bought back in 1854 from the government by Father Francis Paul Huber from Austria. And 400 and some acres he bought for like $100.
Wow.
And And you got to understand, it was like swampland in Florida. The government was using it to map out Lake Michigan. There was hardly nothing around, and he said it'd be a site of pilgrimage for tens of thousands of people. And talk about a prophecy, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And now it's, I don't know, we have hundreds of thousands come every year, so it's a beautiful, that's when it was purchased. And then the healing aspect came really in 1858 when the Getz family brought an ill relative on to the top of the hill, because apparently, obviously, going to high places was where you encountered God in religion, and it was the highest place in southeastern Wisconsin, it still is. And so they brought her up to the top of the hill, and she was cured, and in Thanksgiving they mounted the first cross on Holy Hill in 1858, and then in 1863, the first shrine was built and dedicated on May 24th of 1863, and Father George Strickner for the first time used the words Holy Hill. And we were a shrine of Mary Help of Christians, which is a very popular devotion back in the 19th century when the Pope got released from his intercessory prayers under Napoleon. He was praying to Mary Help of Christians. It was a very popular devotion. And after he was released, he immediately made the Feast of Mary Help of Christians. So that was a very popular feast at that time. And that's how it got dedicated at that time. And he used the words Heiliger Hügel, which in German is Holy Hill, for the first time.
Ah, nice. Okay. I was wondering
where Holy Hill came from.
Yeah, I was wondering where that came from. I mean, it's from everything that I see on your website and from the pictures that I've seen, it sits a hilltop, correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
And then in 1876, the statue of Mary Help of Christians, there was four of them made. Two of them were destroyed in the wars, and then there's two left, and we have one of them. And I don't know where the other one is, Patrick.
Okay.
And once the statue came, then it became very popular. In 1881, they built the first stone church. And then in 1906, the Discalced Carmelite friars from Bavaria were coming. The Archbishop was looking for people to take over some of the ministry in the diocese, and Archbishop Mesmer gave us the property of Holy Hill, the shrine. We've been here since 1906. We built the new church that exists currently in 1925, and it was finished in 31. And then in 2000, we restored it all, and in 2006, we became a minor basilica when the now Cardinal Dolan was the Archbishop in Milwaukee under Pope Benedict XVI, during his papacy.
Wow.
So that's a bit of the history lesson 101.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thanks, Father. I like that. So how many Carmelites are there at Holy Hill now?
Well, we have our formation house. So we have five novices, three students, and 10 friars. So we're about 18.
Okay, very good. A contemplative community.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, very good. Well, I thank you for the prayers, the work, and the formation that you all are undergoing there. I think that's it's a wonderful part of it. But that, too, must add a sense of the holiness of the place, doesn't it?
Well, I think it does, because, you know, the people know we're praying for them, and we're out saying Mass. We're hearing their confessions. It's the sacraments. They're getting an encounter of God, which is what a shrine is about. It's a place where people can come and pray and encounter God. And it's in the secular world, it's a place where people can get away from the secularization of the world and come in contact with the living God in silence.
Right.
And so even Pope Benedict Emeritus was encouraging people to frequently do pilgrimages to shrines, to get away from the busyness, to reflect on where God is calling you,
yep,
and how He's calling you in your life. So they're tremendous blessings for the church.
Right, and you actually but Holy Hill itself is actually located not all that far from the greater Milwaukee area. About how far are you out of, say, downtown
from Milwaukee?
Yeah,
I'd say 40 minutes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so not far outside, but yet it is in this beautiful, serene place on top atop this hill. What are some of the significant roles of mountains and hills in our Catholic spirituality, Father?
Well, you go to Elijah. Where did he went to Mount Carmel, right?
Right.
So that's where Carmelites get their origin from, the prophet Elijah, where he went to Mount Carmel. And what did he encounter on Mount Carmel? He encountered God in the silent whisper. So all through even in the Old Testament, Jerusalem was up on a mountain. So all of these things are, there was an image of where you go to encounter God.
Okay,
in the heights.
So taking our cue from the pilgrims of old, and including Elijah in that, I'm a little worried because I'm not in the greatest of shape. Do I need to walk up Holy Hill, or can I drive up?
You can actually drive up,
okay, all right. I was just a little worried.
You can drive up, and you actually can take the elevator all the way up if you need to.
Okay, well, I don't know.
We're not bad of shape. We have wheelchairs for some to go around the grounds, too.
Well, that's good to know. That's right. I'm not sure my wife would let me get away with taking the elevator all the way up, but yes, I'm glad to hear that that's an option there, too. So, I see that the Holy Hill, you said this yourself. Well, you get hundreds of thousands of pilgrims every year. Do you think there's anything in particular that draws people, or has it taken a while to develop that number of pilgrims? Has it been growing? Has it been on the increase?
We've been growing steadily every year, Patrick, and I think one of the common themes that people, when they write to us and say things to us, is two things. Number one, the silence, mm-hmm, and the beauty and the ability to pray, and number two, the reality of the confessional. Mm. People get to go to confession here, and they write and compliment on and thank us for being available for that sacrament. So those would be the things that stand out, and obviously also the Eucharist and the Masses that we have here. Oftentimes we get complimented on the beauty and how beautiful our Masses are, not only the Masses and the homilies, but the music and all of the surrounding things of our Masses. Mm. So those are the main compliments that we get from the faithful.
Do you offer confessions daily, Father?
Yes, every day.
Wow. Yeah, that's great. And are you a Wisconsin native? Just curious.
No, actually, I'm a Michigan native.
A Michigan native.
I always joke around and I say I'm from the Holy Land. So.
Well, you are now, anyway. Sorry, I being a Wisconsin native, I had to throw that in there. Yes, right. Yeah. So, in your own life and reflecting over your own experience of pilgrimages, we're kind of hitting on pilgrimages today as a way of in the midst of trying to get summer projects done. Pilgrimage is a great way to break away from the busyness, as you already alluded to. To take some time to remind us of the presence of Christ with us always, even in the midst of our busiest times. So how about in your own life, Father? Can you share any fruits of pilgrimage that you have experienced?
Yeah, there's a couple of them. I would say the first one that I really did that really impressed me was when I went to World Youth Day in Toronto.
Okay.
I thought that, as a priest, I thought that was just a tremendous encounter with many of the faithful, just a very impressive reality of hearing confessions and all of the youthful enthusiasm of the young adults. Not only was it very moving, but it was very inspiring, because oftentimes we don't get to see the inspiration and the youthful enthusiasm in the churches, and to see them all together in one gathering, it was very inspirational.
Yeah, I can imagine that. What would you say to people who are about to set out on pilgrimage or are thinking about doing a pilgrimage? What's the right way of preparing for making a good pilgrimage, of practices that you do while you're on pilgrimage, Father?
Well, that's a great question. I would always remember, as you're going in a pilgrimage, that take the Holy Spirit as your friend. Because what you're doing is a pilgrimage is to move you from a point in your life to another point. So there's always a movement in a pilgrimage. And so a pilgrimage is to move you forward and closer to Christ. And who else does that better than the Holy Spirit? And obviously the Blessed Mother is the spouse of the Holy Spirit. So those two people, I would think, I would advise to take very close on the pilgrimage with you when you begin. Do a novena to the Holy Spirit before you begin your pilgrimage. Have a special prayer to Our Lady each day. And then when you arrive on the pilgrimage, you can prepare now. They've got so many of these people that do these Marian consecrations, which is really, Father Michael Gately has one, St. Louis de Montfort has one. You can even do a Marian consecration and then come consecrate yourself at a shrine. Many people do that here. Mm. We have the books out all the time here. It's people really find that very fruitful of consecrating their lives to the Immaculate Heart of Mary in the Mary Help of Christians shrine. So those are some of the suggestions I would have.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, I think it's a good pointer to really invoke the power of the Holy Spirit as you're moving in this, because it's different than just, you know, well, we happen to be driving by on our way to whatever, Chicago, for our summer vacation. We're going to go see the Cubs play. And, oh, look, here's Holy Hill. Why don't we stop off? Right?
Yeah. It's not just a recreational thing. It's a deepening of your life and a deepening of your purpose and the meaning of your life and also the ability to do what God will ask you to do in your life, to respond to what God's asking of you. And that's not always easy. It takes grace.
Yeah, it takes grace. Wonderful. Well, Father Don Brick, who is the Superior and Rector of the Basilica National Shrine of Mary Help of Christians, a.k.a. Holy Hill, thank you for being with us. You know what? We asked Father Rocky for his blessing, but I'm not opposed to getting more than one blessing in an hour. Can you give us your blessing as well, Father?
Sure. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Help us in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the intercession of our Blessed Lady descend upon all of you, give you health, peace, and mind and soul. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Father, thank you so much for joining us here on the Rediscover Hour today.
Thanks, Patrick. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
All right. God bless. You too. HolyHill.com is the website for Holy Hill. Take a look at it. It just looks amazing. Of course, I know they have professional photographers and everything, but if it's anything like what the pictures show, then I think it is well worth your time. So either Our Lady of Good Help in Champion, Wisconsin, Holy Hill down in southeast Wisconsin, both of them are about a five-hour drive away from the Twin Cities. Maybe factor it in for this coming holy month of August or a later time and take a pilgrimage. All right, we are going to go to our break. When we come back, Nell O'Leary is with us, who is going to talk to us about the upcoming Archdiocesan Women's Retreat. Stay with us. Rediscover.
How has Relevant Radio impacted your daily walk with our Lord?
When you can hear other people's stories of faith, stories of struggles, really helps me in my faith to know that I'm not alone. It doesn't matter where we are across the miles, we're all together as part of the body of Christ. That station has really blessed my life.
You just never know what you're going to hear on Relevant Radio that's going to help you on your path to heaven, to take you to that next level spiritually. There's always something new every single day with all of our hosts, with the three priests who answer your questions every day, with the other guests that we have. Your donation goes a long way to touching souls.
Donate now on the Relevant Radio website or app, or give us a call, 1-877-291-0123. That's 1-877-291-0123.
When you call, ask about making a recurring gift. There are benefits for both you and for Relevant Radio.
I'm my hope on your return. Now all that sorrow so soon will burn. To tend my heart with tender hands.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Susanna Parent, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you from the Relevant Radio studios, 1330 a.m. in Golden Valley, and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Joining me now in studio, back on the program, Nell O'Leary, who is a recovering lawyer, turned blogger, speaker, and sower of baby goods, while tending to her husband and four kiddos in the great city of St. Paul, serves as managing editor for Blessed Is She, and can down a hot cocoa in no time flat, and also a keynote speaker at this year's Archdiocesan Women's Retreat. Nell, welcome back to the Rediscover Hour.
Thanks for having me, Patrick.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. Always a breath of fresh air. So, okay. By the way, do you have any hot cocoa with you?
I wish I did.
Not on a January.
I'm ready
on a July
to demonstrate.
Day. Maybe a January day.
Downing it fast.
Yeah. All right. Well, I tend to nourish my coffee because I just like it that much. But
saver.
Yeah.
Yes. You're a saver.
I'm a saverer. That's correct. All right. So the focus of the retreat this year is living grace, seeing the extraordinary in the ordinary. So what exactly, what part of that, or how are you going to draw that out in the Archdiocesan Women's Retreat?
Well, I got to say, Patrick, I was so honored to be asked to be part of this retreat and really moved by this theme, this idea of taking our ordinary everyday lives and finding grace within them. Because most of us are just, you know, we're going to work, we're tending to our kids, we're trying to get the strawberries out of the garden before the squirrels do.
Right.
And to find those moments, especially in our relationships, that's kind of my focus. I'm going to be talking about Mary as the perfect mother and why we need her and bringing her into our everyday life as, man, we're so lucky. We have the perfect mother in heaven, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's make sure we're tapping into that relationship.
Yeah. Well, the perfect motherhood, I mean, when you hear that, it can be received as a gift. But I'm just thinking of those mothers who may be just struggling so much to make ends meet in terms of their household, you know, in terms of whatever that they're providing for their kids. Is there any part of that that could be interpreted as it's a little intimidating to be with the perfect mother?
Oh, man. I mean, I'm one of those struggling mothers, Patrick.
Okay.
Don't come check.
I didn't want to point fingers.
Don't come look in my closet. Don't see the unmade beds. I do think Mary is often distant for Catholic women because not only is she the perfect mother of the perfect son, but we so often feel like there's no way we can either measure up or no way we can actually identify with her and her humanity, right? She's fully human.
Yeah.
No sin, but fully human, experience the full range of human emotions. So I think to examine and see how we're not looking at like, all right, how did Mary do it? She ran a household perfectly. I got to do it like that. But more, we have a mother in heaven who always has our best interest at heart.
Mm.
Unlike our own flawed, challenged, beautiful, difficult, up-down relationships with our own moms, we have a mother who always wants what's best for us. And even when we pray those final words of the Hail Mary, at the hour of her death, she is the mother who's going to be there for us in every way that we wish, you know, maybe our own mothers have fallen short. I mean, all of our mothers have fallen short. I've fallen short as a mother myself. So that kind of look at a perfect mother less than what's her to-do list and how can I emulate that?
Yeah, exactly. So the perfect motherhood of Mary is really embodied in her perfect love for her son and for us as well.
Yeah.
Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Better
right.
said than me, Patrick.
No, not at all. I am only here to facilitate the conversation. All right, so what are you looking forward to specifically about this retreat yourself? What do you look forward to? Let's back up, and not necessarily this retreat. What do you look forward to when you go on retreat, if you ever get to go on retreat anymore? But yeah.
I find retreats to be the ultimate spiritual self-care. So when we talk about self-care as women, you know, you're supposed to treat yourself, make sure you get a moment on Instagram alone or get your nails done or get that Starbucks hot cocoa.
Hot cocoa, right.
Sometimes we forget that, man, we just need a spiritual reboot. So for me, the retreats I've gone on are mostly the Blessed Is She retreats. I feel like it's a time set apart to say, I need to listen to what the Lord is going to put on my heart. And I have to clear the space to do that.
Mm.
I mean, sometimes I clear that space by hiding in the pantry, eating chocolate chips in the afternoon.
That's honest.
But when we're on retreat, we're taking a moment to listen and to meet other women who are also on this challenging walk of Catholic womanhood, to be inspired, to listen, to connect. Those are all things, mostly to listen. I need to listen to the Lord more. All I do is chat at him.
That's, oh my gosh. Well, I'm sorry. I can't let that one go. All you do is chat. Tell us more what you mean.
Well, so for our team, for Blessed Is She, we do a weekly holy hour. Everybody does a holy hour for the intentions of, you know, all the tens of thousands of women in the sisterhood. And having done this practice now, I find increasingly I'm having to still my own prayers, petitions, requests, all those things, even the vocal praise of our Lord, and just try to go from vocal prayer to meditative, to contemplative, to step deeper in, to still my own thoughts and my own feelings, and really be receptive. And I think a retreat creates that space where you can truly say, speak, Lord, I am listening. Because
right.
you're away from your normal life.
Right. And that's one of the fruits that we've been talking about. Prior to having you on the program, we were talking with Father Rocky and Father Donbrick about pilgrimages, which is, I guess, in another way, another kind of retreat,
oh,
right?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's getting out of the out of the ordinary to take time so that you can go and be with the Lord, not because it's just this mountaintop experience, even Holy Hill, which we talked about that, but it's not this hilltop experience, but it's so that we can recall the presence of the Lord in our everyday life. Is
right.
that right?
We're dipping into the well to bring that water back.
Wow. Better said than I would have. Right there. You go. See, so back at you. That's right. Specifically, is there anything, what's so important about retreats for, you know, kind of single gender retreats, as it were? So women's retreats, men's retreats. Mm. We have the Archdiocese Men's Conference. You're speaking at this Archdiocese and Women's Retreat, which we'll give the details about here in just a moment. But yeah, what's so important about a group of women coming together specifically?
I think women need each other in a way that we don't get access to each other in today's world. You know, think of like back in the villages, back in, you know, in a different era when women were together more throughout the day. Now we're kind of segmented. We're kind of off in our own spaces, carrying the burdens of the sorrows on our hearts or the challenges of our days alone. That's largely why women turn to an online community, because they don't get the in-person as much as they would want. So for women to come together and be spoken to by people who are speaking directly into their hearts for the challenges of the whole range of things that women face, I think really can fortify us and help us see each other as sisters, not competitors.
Mm.
Actually, sisters in Christ walking this journey together toward, hopefully, sanctity.
Mm.
And to be spoken to in a very particular way that's different than when you have, you know, both men and women. It's a little broader, I think, at
sure.
those kind of retreats.
I'm going to tease out something that you mentioned there, if you wouldn't mind. You said more community than competitive or something along those lines. And I just got to say that there is a tremendous spirit of competition in our world today. And some of it is healthy and okay, but a lot of it tends to be, we tend to be more competitive about, you know, I'm better at this. That makes me a better person. Yeah. When that's not what the Lord has in store. So what is it? What are the things that women tend to compete about?
Oh, man, you name it.
Okay.
You name it, it's it. I think especially in today's era where everybody has literally a camera on their own lives and they're broadcasting their own highlights
right.
on social media,
yeah.
I think we tend to get caught up in thinking that our value is what we produce and what we do and how well we look and how well our children behave and how high our salary is, how public our accolades are in our work environment. And we forget that our value is because we're daughters of God. It's because we're his children. Our value comes from our very essence of his love for us and our relationship with him. So to remind women, hey, we're coming together. We're clearing the slate. Okay. Doesn't matter if you came in looking your best or your worst. Doesn't matter what you do for your day job. Doesn't matter how Instagrammable or Pinterestable your house looks.
Instagrammable or Pinterestable.
Even, that's, all right, those aren't actually.
I love it. No, I like that. Okay.
To say, like, set all of that aside.
Mm.
And let's see, the real thing that we should all be competing on together is tamping down our vices, amping up our virtues, and working on being saints. And we can lift each other up along that journey. We need each other mm-hmm. along that journey. That's like a team cooperative effort. You are sisters. Link your arms. Let's move toward that goal. And stop comparing and feeling less than about oftentimes things that are kind of paper tigers, you know, like her house looks so great. Yeah, because she took a picture of that corner that's clean.
Yes, I may be guilty of something along those lines. Yes, absolutely. All right, so we're talking here with Nell O'Leary, a keynote speaker at the Archdiocese and Women's Retreat. Retreat is taking place Saturday, September 28th from 8:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Church of the Epiphany in Coon Rapids. Again, the theme of this year's retreat is Living Grace, Seeing the Extraordinary in the Ordinary. Mass celebrated by Bishop Andrew Cousins, keynote speakers, as well as Nell, we have Father Brian Park and Dia Boyle. It's $40 a person, which is a steal at twice the price. So you need to go to archspm.org and register today. Just click on the events page and it'll take you right to it, the Archdiocese and Women's Retreat. So now, specifically in terms of, I want to go back to your own personal experience of retreats. Is there any retreat that really sticks out in your mind? Is that this is a time where the Lord really utilized the time that you gave to refresh and rejuvenate you? Is there some experience that would be relatable to our listening audience?
Well, last August, St. Mark's was kind enough to host the Blessed Is She retreat for the region, for the Midwest region.
Okay.
And I was the ground team coordinator. So I figured this retreat is going to be me running around sweating like crazy because it's August in Minnesota, working, you know, our wonderful team of 30 volunteers, making sure my mom had the kids where they were supposed to be and all those things. And I actually felt like during Bishop Cousins' mass that he offered for us that Saturday night, that vigil mass, I was in the back making sure everything, you know, all the pews were where they're supposed to be, in the kneelers, because he did a Eucharistic procession throughout. Mm. And literally going row by row with the Blessed Sacrament for all the women, and seeing that our Lord was coming to them and coming to me. Mm. I was sobbing, probably with my hands over my face in the back, thinking, all this work and all this hustle, really, it's all about helping our Lord come into the lives of the women around us. And as a team, we had done that, but also just remember, it's His work. We're just facilitating it.
Right. And it's not a one-and-done thing either with retreats, is it? Because I find when I go away on retreat and I feel refreshed, rejuvenated, ready to enter back in as a husband and a caregiver, you know, I want to give of myself fully. That lasts for about 2-3 days if I'm lucky.
Then you need to go back.
Yeah, exactly, right? Need to take another pilgrimage, you need to go on another retreat, that sort of thing, right. Okay, so When you're thinking about, again, the theme of the retreat, finding the extraordinary in the ordinary, based on what our conversation, it sounds to me like this is what God intends 24/7, is for us to recognize Him present there.
Absolutely.
Yeah? You would agree with that?
Absolutely,
So where are you finding in your own life that you are finding the extraordinary God in the ordinary things? And where is it, if I may be so bold, where is it tough to do so?
I am finding God in my relationship with my children, which is a surprise. So my kids are 9, 7, 5, and 2.5. And when they were younger, it was just a lot of crying and diapers.
Mm-hmm.
All of us crying. Important clarification. Yes. Mom confession. I'm seeing such delight and such love, and I'm looking for it in them. And I'm seeing His love coming back toward me in that relationship, which is a surprise, since mothering has been a challenge. I think it is for most women. And where I'm struggling to find it is in, this is like another typical mom, in my household chores.
Yeah.
So running a household, it doesn't matter if you have kids, single, doesn't matter. But stay on top of laundry, dishes, groceries, meals, tidying up, because it's like you're in a hamster wheel. It just happens again. And reminding myself, like, He is with me here. He's with me in the dishes. I can pray Lexio over that scripture verse I picked up. I can truly welcome Him and bring Him into these toilets that need to be scrubbed again. Again.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. I mean, that just fits perfectly with actually how I opened the show, was my own confession, my own admission that where I'm really struggling is to find the presence of God in the daily routine, the daily chores. But I do think that the key to doing that is to get away, to honor the concept of Sabbath, to honor the concept of retreat, to spend focused time with the Lord and with sisters, or in my case, brothers, and to get to that point of saying, the Lord is present here, now let's take Him home. Go to the well, bring the water home. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, Nell, thank you so much for joining us. I enjoyed this interview so much. Why don't you come back next week? We'll talk about something else.
Sounds like a plan. I'm on it.
We are going to have Nell back next week. I'll tell you more about that at the end of the show. But as for now, again, if you want to check out the Archdiocesan Women's Retreat, go to archspm.org. Click on events. It'll take you to it. We are going to go into our final break. When we come back, Paul and I are going to have more information about that retreat, as well as other things coming up this summer, so that you can deepen your relationship with the Lord. Stay with us.
Rediscover.
Everyone has a special place for their safe money, like the local bank, or maybe even the proverbial cookie jar, a place that's secure from losing value. At Catholic United Financial, we know a thing or two about keeping your savings safe and secure. We also know as you get closer to retirement, the last thing you want to do is lose money. If that's you and you're worried about falling markets, then consider protecting your hard-earned money with a guaranteed return no matter what the markets do. Our Bonus Plus annuity has a 3% return the first year and a guaranteed minimum return in the future with no annual sales or maintenance fees. Your money grows free of market risk and fee-free. So place your safe money with a company that honors your faith. Start an account or roll over an IRA. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safemoney. That's CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
St. Paul, you ever been down to Holy Hill?
I haven't been to Holy Hill, but I have been to Our Lady of Good Help in Champion.
Yeah? Found it good?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Everything Father Rocky said is absolutely true.
Yeah, that's been my experience as well. All right, yeah. Paul, what else we got going on?
Oh, well, as usual, we have tons of things. Honor the 2019 Leading with Faith Award winners on Thursday, August 1st, University of St. Thomas. Archbishop Bernard Hebda will present the awards. The event begins with check-in and complimentary beverage service at 11:30 a.m., lunch served promptly at noon, free parking available at the Anderson Parking Facility. For more information and to register, visit the events page at archspm.org.
All are invited to a memorial lecture series at Transfiguration Church in Oakdale in honor of Father William Baer, former rectory of St. John Vianney College Seminary. The inaugural speaker will be Father Rocky, Executive Director of Relevant Radio, on Thursday, August 1st at 7 p.m. His talk will be on faith, praying well. Following Father Rocky, Bishop Juan Miguel Betancourt will speak August 15th on hope, dying well, and Bishop Andrew Cousins, August 29th, on charity, loving well. For more information, visit transfigurationmn.org or call the parish office 651-738-2646.
Grandparents, save the date for Saturday, August 24th. The Catholic Grandparents Conference. Come and hear God's plan for grandparents. Be equipped to pass on a heritage of faith. The Catholic Grandparents Conference is on Saturday, August 24th, 8:30 to 3:30 at the Church of the Epiphany in Coon Rapids. Conference includes keynote speaker Marianne Kaharsky, founding member and director of Pro-Life Across America, as well as Father Joseph Bamanek, who will be speaking on the topic of bringing healing to your family. Also, an hour of adoration led by Archbishop Bernard Hebda and more. For more details and to register, visit CatholicGrandparenting.org.
And here's that women's retreat once again. Women, you are all invited to the Archdiocesan Women's Retreat taking place on Saturday, September 28th from 8:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Epiphany in Coon Rapids. Theme of this year's retreat is Living Grace, Seeing the Extraordinary in the Ordinary, and will begin with Mass celebrated by Bishop Andrew Cousins. The day includes awesome keynote speakers, including Nell O'Leary, Father Brian Park, and Dia Boyle, all for just $40 a person. Find out more about our speakers and the retreat on the events page at archspm.org and register today.
Young women between the ages of 21 and 29 are invited to come and hear the mission of Behold, a mission to help each woman recognize the gift she is, realize the gifts she's been given, and give to the world the gifts that only she can give. This 8-week series takes place from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at Our Lady of Grace in Edina starting Thursday, October 3rd. Series includes time for fellowship with other young adult Catholic women, Eucharistic adoration, awesome presentations from the Behold speaker team, and time for Q&A and small group discussion. To find out more and to register, visit the events page at archspm.org.
Well, summer's a family time, Paul.
That's what they tell me.
Yeah, we've got family with us on the next Rediscover. We got religious brothers, we got lay sisters, and we got grandparents. We got them all here on the next.
You've got a full deck.
Rediscover Hour. Well, some people say I'm not playing with a full deck, but first of all, we got brother Conrad and brother Pio from the Franciscan Brothers of Peace. They're going to talk Solanus Casey with us. Find out more about him. Nell O'Leary, as I just said, who was a guest on today's show, is going to be back next week, along with Bridget Busacher, to tell us not about the women's retreat, but about the upcoming Behold 8-week series for young adult women. And we're going to celebrate Jesus' grandparents, Saints Joachim and Anne, or Joachim, as some say, and Anne. Crystal Crocker, director of the Office of Evangelization, is going to be talking to us about the Grandparents Conference. Until then, friends, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturdays at noon, and Sunday afternoons at 2 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.